This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
The Commanders are 3-4, and here comes the gauntlet. At Arrowhead, home in primetime, Seahawks off a bye, and then one of the best teams in football, the Detroit Lions, their season on the brink. After Danny yesterday, they got destroyed by the Dallas Cowboys, doubled up in the division, 44-22.
I don't know that it will finish this way, because who knows? I mean, so much will happen as the season progresses. But I can tell you this, right now, this minute, they're the worst team in the NFC East. At this moment, as you and I are broadcasting today, they are the worst team in the NFC East, which featured a Giants team that looked completely inept for a while, now is playing decently inspired football, but they don't have the horses to be able to hold on to some of these leads, but had a really good Denver team dead to rights. Dallas just whooped your ass, and Philadelphia, you know, after a speed bump or two, is now 5-2 with some daylight between you, them, and the rest of the division. This is bad. It's not one of those, oh, bummer, you were short one player. If they had McLaurin there, maybe. Guys that are here, guys that are going to be part of this thing, got mauled, got mushed, got dominated, got destroyed. You were easily the second best team on that field yesterday, from coaching staff all the way on down. Disastrous.
You can listen to the show all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7 The Fan. Remember, wherever you go today, pause, rewind the show, where your therapy. The Odyssey app is how you can listen to us coast to coast. And, of course, you can watch us in high definition. The stream is up and running. It's the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Where to begin after a 22-point shellacking? Commanders going to Dallas, getting their pants pulled down, and they got given a swirly. I mean, they got bullied in this game on the road yesterday. I was trying to think of the right word to use, and I was kind of getting my, you know, thesaurus out for this one. What is the best way to describe that loss? And what I settled on, Danny, was humiliating. That was, from a bygone era, humiliating.
Yeah, I've seen that game before with a coaching staff that, you know, players are already doing exit interviews and, you know, guys have one foot out the door and everyone's doing CYA type stuff. I've seen disasters like that, not for a team with aspirations.
It resembled the incompetence of the pre-Adam Peters, Dan Quinn regimes to get doubled up like that in the East. Your quarterback is hurt again. Third time in less than a year and a half. And we're doing the, what's the MRI say? Might he play this weekend thing? This is an every several week situation, basically going back to a month or so into last year. The defense got trounced by an elite offense, completely outclassed. They give up 38 points, 410 yards, 50% conversion rate on third down. And that was with the Cowboys being kind enough to take the foot off the gas pedal. late in the football game. Offensively, undermanned with the wide receiver injuries, but you had your entire offensive line, including Sam Cosmi, coming back. You had your tight end room to help block in the run game. You had your running backs. And against four-man fronts, you averaged 1 yard per carry yesterday. So the cluster injuries at wide receiver, a problem, yes. But Zach Ertz was out there playing through some pain, dropped the ball 2 times. Sam Cosmi was back out there, rusty, struggled. Your quarterback was out there before the injury, and for the second time in as many weeks, careless with the football, lost a fumble, and oh, by the way, missed more throws that he didn't miss last year. 11 penalties yesterday, Danny. 11 penalties. 11! That's so many! I was going through this exercise yesterday because I was trying to find when is the last time this team gave up 40 or more, lost by 20 or more, and committed 11 penalties. So I'm scrolling box scores. 2022, 2020, 2017, 2015, and I'm just scrolling. And they gave up 40 a lot more than you might think. So there was a bunch of times where I'd have to click on the box score, and it'd be 2 penalties, 5 penalties, 6 penalties, 7 penalties. 11 is so hard to commit. That's so many penalties. And the answer, by the way, is you have to go back 11 years to a 2014 debacle at the hands of the Giants to find the last time that a game that checked those 3 boxes happened for this organization. This was just a absolute disaster yesterday.
The only way you were going to win that game was if it played out the way that it kind of started, where you score, they score, you score, they score, you score, they score, and maybe you steal one with Jaden Daniels in the end. You clearly weren't stopping them. In that first quarter, right before the first quarter ended, you referenced one of the drops, a huge play that you don't know at the time is a huge play. Jaden Daniels hits Zach Ertz, who was old and slow, right in the hands on an out route. It's going to be 3rd and 2. If he just does a normal NFL football player thing, which is catch the ball that is directly between his numbers, hits him right square in the chest, the hands, whatever. It is, oh, my bad thing. It is your bad, but whatever. We'll live to fight another down. The next play, pass to the artist formerly known as Robbie Anderson, short of a first down. They punt. First play for Dallas, 74-yard touchdown, ball game. That's it. Off to the races. You never caught back up. You never were back in it because now they've got a couple score lead, and no matter what you were trying to do to claw out of that pit, I'm not saying that's why they lost the game, but that was the moment that it all turned. You don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, years ago, I've harbored on this one or hammered this one for a million times over. Against Kansas City on the road, Terrell Pryor dropped a slant route, which would have been a first down when Washington had a multiple score lead. Kansas City never looked back, scored every time they had the ball. Washington relinquished possession, and that was it. That was all she wrote. That's kind of what happened here. Defense can't stop anybody. They can't cover. They can't deal with running backs at this point because they're so tired of getting beat deep or deep middle or deep short third. Offensively, they were so limited. Dallas played more man than you'll ever see because no receivers can get open and get separation. They looked helpless yesterday. They were just getting beat up behind the Circle K.
By the way, you just talked about the defense. Let's go there for a second. What an answerless group they are right now.
Yeah.
Do they have any answers for anything right now? And by the way, I see Commanders fans fighting on Twitter about this. I was just talking with Linnell and some other people in the bullpen about this. Is it the scheme? Is it the players? Is it the... Yes is the answer. It's not one thing.
Right.
We could all try to make it one thing if we want to. Why is someone obese? Is it their food choices? Is it the fast food every day? Is it the lack of exercise? Is it the overeating? The answer is probably yes to all of it, right? Scheme leaves guys wide open, sure. They also miss tackles at an alarming rate. Now, we're deep enough into the season that I don't know if I can keep blaming the training camp that they had that was pretty soft or the fact that nobody practices for so many stretches during the week because they have so many injuries and so many older guys that just aren't on the field. Although I would point out the best tackler on the team, who I've never seen miss a tackle, Bobby Wagner, doesn't practice all the time. So I don't know what the reason is, but they miss a ton of tackles. And they pass out big plays like you and me are going to be passing out candy in 11 days on Halloween. The Cowboys just have to come up to the front door in costume and say trick or treat. And then you get 74. How about these chunks that they gave up yesterday? 74, 44, 37, 33, 24, 18, 17, 17, 16, 15. That's not even automatic first downs.
It's like 20 Powerball drawings.
Come on, man.
My God.
This defense has no answers.
There's not, like, I could live with something being going well on defense. And here's what I mean. You may give up big plays, but at least you're hitting the quarterback every other down because you're blitzing like a crazy demon, knowing that you can't cover for more than a couple of seconds, so we're not going to have to. We're going to go all out. And we give up big plays, so what? Or we give up a lot of short stuff because we're terrified of getting beat deep. There's nothing they're taking away. As you said, there's no answer. Early on this year, they're actually doing a remarkably good job against running backs, especially given how bad they were last year. Now, you know, Atlanta exposed them to a degree with some outside runs, but still, you held Bijan Robinson below his season average as a runner. They had done a really good job stopping the run. Quarterback runs or some of the gimmick stuff on end arounds or reverses here and there plays. Yeah, teams got them, but against running backs, they were doing a good job. That's no longer true. What, you know, to borrow from Office Space, what is it you'd say you do here? What can you go, well, at least we got this going. There is no at least. There is no answer. There is no, to me, fix other than dramatic action, which still probably won't fix it. Like, this is the room. Call your team meeting. You can air the grievances all you want. I've heard those hallmark moments when you hear guys in press conferences with media scrums talking about communication. Oh, my God, it's Greg Winuski over again. Holy crap, we're doing Joe Barry 2.0. The plane has crashed into the mountain, dude. It is a disaster on that side of the ball.
Similarly talented teams play better on defense every single week. Similarly talented.
That's a fair assessment.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they should be a top five defense or that they've got elite talent, like they spend all of their assets on that side of the ball, because you shouldn't, by the way. Because as you saw yesterday, a good offense is going to decimate a mediocre or bad defense. A good offense in this league is going to beat a good defense. The rules just allow you to. But can we stop pretending like there's no talent on defense? Because if that is the case, then boy, do we have some conversations to have on asset allocation. Marshawn Lattimore, they gave up a 3-4 and a 6-4, and they pay about $19 million to. He is a liability against good wide receivers, he was yesterday. Javon Kinlaw, who has had a great, at times, and I think a really, really good season to this point. Was he in Dallas yesterday? Did he make the trip or did he stay back with Debo? That's a $15 million man. Excellent season to this point. Very quiet performance. Drew a hold at one point. Last year's second round pick, Johnny Newton, outsnapped by Sheldon Day and Eddie Goldman. Goldman, who's retired twice. Sheldon Day, who was on the practice squad 6 minutes ago, outsnapping your number 36 overall pick from last year. That's not like you could be 61st and be a second round pick. This is 36. This is almost a first round selection who's getting outsnapped by these dudes. So if you're telling me, they just don't have a lot of talent, well, you should, because you gave up a 3-4 and a 6 for a corner, you paid $19 million. That means you got a really good corner, right? Because you paid $15 million to a D-tackle more than anybody paid at the position outside of, you know, two or three teams over the last couple of years for all-pro types. So you got a pretty good D-tackle to go with Daron Payne, by the way, who was a fringe all-pro at one point in time and played his butt off yesterday. You got your two linebackers healthy. Everyone's doing this, they're so injured. So Will Harris, the safety, goes down, and Dietrich Wise goes down, and now the defense just can't be
counted
on.
Now you can't stop anybody?
Come on, man. Really? Your one-year deal safety who makes a few million bucks, and your veteran defensive end brought in here to bring some size and help slow the rundown. Those two guys are unavailable, and now you just become defense 31? I'm sorry. Uh-uh. Two linebackers, second-team All-Pros last year. You pay one $12 million. You pay one $9 million, who you've chosen multiple times to sign, and you give up 146 on 25 runs from running backs yesterday. Something's not adding up here, Danny. Something's not working for me. This does not compute.
So from the Greg Williams era here with Joe Gibbs 2.0, to me, that's my base philosophy about defense. Is if everybody does their job, you can be perfectly fine, even solid on defense. If you've got a good scheme, a good design, you know, Warwick Holdman, you just stay on the outside shoulder of the fullback or the tight end on this play. Or Ronaldo Wynn, you get upfield, but, you know, don't get too far upfield. You do X, you do Y. You can have a perfectly fine defense. To be the 2000 Ravens or the Legion of Boom or the 85 Bears or something like that, that requires yeoman stuff that I frankly wouldn't try to invest in. I think it's too fleeting. I think it's too hard year over year to have those kind of results. So your point, I think, is well seen. They don't have great personnel on defense. I think they've made incorrect calls multiple times over, most notably Marshawn Lattimore. Now, people are going to beat up Lattimore a lot today. I will, too. It's not the deep, perfect throw, toe-tap George Pickens catch on the sideline where great offense is going to beat great defense. That's an incredible play. I care about the times the guys are wide open, the separation. He can't run with guys. He can't get out of breaks quick enough.
It's actually interesting because the PI of 37 yards to the goal line was pretty damn good defense,
I thought
too.
That was good, yeah.
I actually think that shouldn't have been a pass interference. I don't know how you felt.
I agree with you on that, actually.
But it's 50-50, and you don't get your head around in time, and occasionally it's going
to
get called.
Yeah, he was waiting, tried to time it so he would punch it out when the guy showed his hands.
Yeah.
Right? I actually thought that was a decent enough play. Yeah.
And by the way, that's a reputation penalty. You're one of the most physical, handsy, fouling defensive backs in the league, basically. So in that spot, against a big physical guy like George Pickens, hand-fighting down the field, occasionally you're going to get a flag. But that 37-yarder, I didn't even mind his play defensively.
I thought
it was good. The 44-yarder dropped into the bucket was a hell of a catch and a better throw, and you can't really defend it any better. So that's, you know, 90 yards or whatever we just came up with right there against him on those two plays. But you miss a tackle on the first run of the game on second down and long. I think it was second and 10. He had a stop for 2 yards. He gets run over, truck stick, Javonte Williams, who ends up getting 9 to set up a 3rd and 1. 7 yards right there by missing a tackle. And then on the ensuing 3rd and 1, you give this weird cushion where you give this in route to CeeDee Lamb, and you're nowhere near him as he makes the easiest 13-yard catch you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff.
I care more about that.
That is annoying.
The in-breakers. Again, he can't get in and out of breaks quick enough to cover fast NFL receivers. And he struggles with big guys. That used to be his calling card. I'll out-maul Mike Evans sometimes. Wrong. He can't play. That decision is haunting them. And there's no alternative. It's not as if, like, Noah Igbinoghene is just this juggernaut that is in the coach's doghouse.
He was available for peanuts because he can't play outside, theoretically.
Yeah.
Another team decided that at some point.
Yeah, so Jonathan Jones coming back will help some, but come on, man. I mean, to me, they invested a lot of resources in several pieces. A lot of them are not paying dividends. Most notably, the draft class from last year. I mean, Brandon Coleman's inactive. Johnny Newton is getting outsnapped by Sheldon Day, to your point. Ben Sinnott is the backup blocking tight end. Their second-round pick from last year that was George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk 2.0 is the backup blocking tight end that's available on the occasional jumbo package.
I want to go through that whole draft class because every single player in that draft class from last year has taken a step back this season. We'll get into that. But to just put a bow on the defense, it is okay in this league where everything's designed around the offense and explosiveness and big plays to give up a lot of yards if you can either be great in the red zone, which hasn't been the case, or if you can generate takeaways.
Turn people over, yeah.
And what we talked about all week was they're going to get got. I think we even said at one point on Friday, they're probably going to give up a 65, 70-yard touchdown at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be these crazy explosives. It happened to be 74, play the Keystone Cops theme. I'm not really sure what Lattimore was looking at, but it looked like he was tracking the ball in the air and trying to catch a punt, and then Lamb cuts him off and catches it, and then Lattimore runs into Quan Martin, and they both fall down. 74 yards, one play drive, touchdown. Wasn't even their worst drive of the day somehow, by the way.
Right.
I think the one right before the half might have been worse than the one play 74-yard touchdown drive for Dallas.
That one was tough.
33-yard run where the Cowboys are just trying to get into field goal range, gets them down to the 2, they burn a timeout and say, screw a field goal. Let's get a touchdown.
They're like, oh, we didn't even plan on this, but that's fine. No, that's fine. We'll just score. Well, yeah, a touchdown. Yeah, we'll do that.
It was a 30-second drive.
Yeah.
For 4 plays and over 70 yards, almost 80 yards. But 7 weeks now, Danny. 7 weeks of football. They have played 7 games. They don't have takeaways in 5 of them. You would think when you know, based on talent or scheme or whatever they want to internally blame it on, we're going to get got. We're going to give up some chunks. We're going to give up explosives. The whole point then is to scheme up the takeaways, to figure out a way to do that. And to Dan Quinn's credit, he says this is something they are focusing on quite a bit. The entire emphasis at one point, I don't remember if it was 2 weeks ago or last week, was more takeaways. It hasn't happened. Again, 0 of them yesterday, 5 out of 7, they don't have a takeaway. It's not like they don't know the problems. Like, Dan Quinn goes up to the podium yesterday, and I actually loved how he started his presser. He comes up and he says, we didn't lose this game based on injuries. I don't want to hear that. Meanwhile, in Vegas, after getting shut out 31-0, I don't know if you saw Pete Carroll's press conference, but he quite literally did the opposite. He went up there yesterday and said something to the effect of, I didn't think we'd be this affected by all the guys we had out via injuries, and we didn't really have much of a chance because of all those injuries. Give me what Quinn said over what Carroll said.
Agreed.
Every time. But at some point, it gets kind of old when you're saying, hey, we know we're not getting off to fast starts, but we're working on it. Another terrible start. Defensively, 5-play touchdown drive after you give up a 30-yard kick return. Offensively, you get the ball back and you go 3 and out. Thank God for Tress Way saving your bacon a little bit because the wheels were already spinning on the road. Hey, we know we've been really, really bad on the road now in every single game that we've played on the road. Certainly for the first quarter of the Chargers game and part of the second quarter. But this has been kind of the norm on the road. We're working on it. Dude, it's midseason.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot more time for you to work on it. Things are perilous here. The gauntlet's coming. You're 3-4.
Yeah, this isn't an October Capitals game, you know, where you're figuring out who what the line combinations are, working in a bunch of kids, you know, to you can afford a bad outing or 10. You're running out of time. You're 1-4 in the NFC. Again, you are a miraculous, unprecedented Broncos comeback from being tied with the Giants at the bottom of this division. I mean, the eye line needs to change. The idea that, what about the playoffs? Or how, you know, will they rebound? Or what's the recovery rate? How are they going to come back and start playing better football? Can they? Like, the further we get away from last year, the more you realize that all those things that went your way, it really was magical pixie dust. It really was the magic carpet ride. Unprecedented, unsustainable things are just that. Unprecedented and unsustainable. Relying on that to continue was a fool's errand. I mean, I picked them to be 9-8 and just missed the postseason because of some injuries. Did they get there? Do I really think that this group right now can rally to get to that level? I don't know.
At this second, you would have to go under on 8.5. At this second.
I think so.
Now, I would ask
you. Things could change.
Does Jaden Daniels miss extended time or does he come back in the next week or two? Number one. Number two, does he play at the level he did last year? Because if he's playing at the level he did last year, it masks a lot of things. You're in every football game and you'll steal a couple of wins. I don't even want to make today about Jaden Daniels because he's problem number 50, if he's even a problem. I'm not even sure that that's the right word to use. But we have to acknowledge he's not playing at the same level. He's missing throws he didn't miss. He lost another fumble in the backfield on the play he got hurt. And maybe that was just like the injury costs you to lose the ball because it's so painful or whatever. But that's two straight weeks where quarterbacks don't fumble where he's fumbled and just given the ball to the other team. These are things that didn't happen last year when he was your savior. So, yeah, getting to 8.5, I think, starts with him. We don't know his status at this point. The offense, by the way, looked average anyway.
Yes.
They obviously missed the receivers. That goes without saying. I don't think that had a ton to do with the loss, but, you know, if you want to chalk it up to that, go for it. It's a problem. And this regression has been real, and it has been loud. The charmed life of last year, I still remember we did the topic in the offseason where we talked about this piece. I think it was in the Washington Post where some analytics person wrote about them being the luckiest team in the NFL, and it was metrics-driven. It was based on when you played teams and
dropped interceptions, you know, a number of things that
missed for your opponents
that are
with injuries,
yeah,
and drops and all kinds of stuff, your own injuries. And everyone's like, oh, that's ridiculous. You guys are haters or whatever. The injuries are piling up. I mean, the regression from a year ago where you were healthy is so loud. And it's gotten ugly, man. Yesterday was, tell me I'm wrong, Danny. That was the last. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was Dan Snyder.
I've seen that game.
Stuff.
I know that game.
How many times have you watched that game?
Yeah.
In Dallas, no less.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott now, when he's played against Washington, in Dallas, 7-0, 22 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Biggest loss of the Dan Quinn era, 22 points. Surpassing that week one game against the Bucs where they looked like a team that they didn't look like for the rest of last season.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. but I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The question we're asking you today on Twitter: are you ready to hit the panic button on the 2025 season? Yes or no? And we're taking your calls on this at 800-636-1067. Three games upcoming that are clearly the toughest three-game stretch of your entire year, at a point where you're now 3-4 with major injury concerns on both sides of the ball, and you just lost your best pass rusher for the season. So the idea of bringing up the notion of panicking makes perfect sense. Is it time to do that, though? Metropolitan Moving and Storage, poll of the day, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best-in-class service and experience. You can let them do your heavy lifting. Take it to the house. More at dcmetropolitanmoving.com.
This is like writing your name and getting points on the SAT. Yes. My God, yes. If they had the Patriots schedule and it was Cleveland and the Jets in the couple weeks and a couple other teams,
and they were going over the Bills.
Yeah, and they were going through a lull. I mean, I just meant upcoming.
Yeah.
I'd go, no, it's not time to panic if you'd lost a couple in a row. But it's not. The hard part's yet to come. You had the easy part. You had the bunnies. You had the layups, and you punted those into the stratosphere. The buzzsaw's coming. The gauntlet. We have nicknamed the next three games the gauntlet. Not because it's simple. Not because it's easy. This is calculus, dude. This is calculus upside down in space next to a black hole. You have made it tougher on yourself. Yes, it's time to panic for all the reasons that you stated. You're not panicking because, oh no, it's not going that great. You're panicking because there's no way out. You're panicking because there's no exit. There's no off-ramp to this. This is the really, really hard stuff with good people. And you're injured. And you're beat up. And the saviors, whenever they do come back at some point, talking about McLaurin and company, when are they going to be themselves, and is that going to be too late? And the answer might be yes. Even with the full complement, you're not beating Kansas City this coming week in all likelihood. You're probably not beating Detroit. Maybe got a shot against Seattle, who played not so great last night and still was plenty enough to win a game in prime time. You're not as good as the next three teams you're playing, and you got Philly two more times, more divisional games. Minnesota's no cakewalk. You made it too tough on yourself. This is absolutely smack that button for panic time.
So I'm not panicking yet. I'm going to panic after Monday night if they lose and look bad doing it again. They're 9.5-point underdogs when the betting line opened this week, so there's a good chance that that happens. But if you lose decisively again, now you're 3-5, just from a math standpoint, a record, a how deep into the season we are, about the midway point standpoint, I'll be closer to panicking. I understand how tall of an order this is going to Kansas City, and I get how arduous a task this is going to be. But you guys watch the NFL like I do. You're smart. You see every single week teams win games that nobody thinks they're going to win. And there is a desperation setting in for this team now. While the Chiefs are reading their press clippings and feeling like they're all the way back and peaking at the right time, and Rasheed Rice has that offense cooking again, and Mahomes this week is being reminded he's the MVP frontrunner for the first time in a few weeks. He's playing his best ball in 3 years, according to a lot of the pundits. This is the type of game where, in this regime last year, they would come out and win and everyone would be stunned. Now, do I think they're going to win? I don't. Do I think they're going to play a lot better? I do. I think Deebo Samuel plays. I think there's a chance Terry McLaurin plays. I don't know about Jaden Daniels. I certainly hope he plays. He gives them their best chance. But whether he plays or not, Marcus Mariota, in the two games he started, played at a above average NFL starting quarterback level, in my opinion. Gave you a chance to win both of those games. You won one of them in what was your most complete quarterback game of the year, probably. Mariota against the Raiders. Not coincidentally, the worst defense playing the worst game of any defense you've played. So that's not a zing or a ding against Jaden Daniels. It's just what happened that day. You got to play a bad group, and he lit him up. But I think Mariota would give you a chance with your complement of wide receivers to move the ball and to score points against Kansas City. I don't know how you stop the Chiefs right now. They're only a few weeks removed, though, from everyone thinking their offense was broken. It hasn't looked like that here, as they've scored 30 in back-to-back games and won a game 31-0 this past week. But I'm not panicking. I'm waiting another week, and I want to see how they respond. Because this has been the hallmark of this group since Dan Quinn got here.
Yeah.
Was like, the chips are down, and everyone's telling you, oh boy. And now you find a way to elevate your game, to play a little better. It takes a batted ball at the line by Daron Payne, picked off by Frankie Louvu. And it takes a, you know, Patrick Mahomes had an awful interception in Landover, Maryland, last time they were here, I remember. You know, it takes something like that where you're in the red zone, and now all of a sudden, after getting a field goal, you're up 10-0 to start the game, and that 9.5-point line looks a little bit different. Crazy things happen. So, do I understand your panic? Hell yeah, I do. I think most people are going to be with you, by the way. I'm going to give them another week. I'm going to give them a chance to, what does Dan Quinn say? Find their north? To recalibrate? In his presser yesterday, he talked about being a couple degrees off course and needing to chart, and the Navy SEALs need to, you know, find their way of recalibrating their degrees. I'll give you another week to do that. If you look like crap again against Kansas City, then I'll hit the panic button.
I smell what you're
There's
cooking.
There's no race to hitting the panic button.
I get you. Yeah, I don't get a prize for being first. After that Chicago game, trying to make my case in a slightly different way, that should have been the moment where you go, we squandered one. You guys, we had that one.
As bad as it was
for a lot of that game, even all our mistakes, all our folly, we still had the football against a team that we're going to be competing directly with potentially for the postseason. We had them dead to rights. And then the defense couldn't stop anybody after our fumble. That one stinks. So what do you want to call it? A code red, Jay Gruden style? You want to call it whatever, a must win, a need to win. Our slow starts have been an issue. They were aware of all that stuff going in. This was the game against a way worse team they're about to play on Monday, where you go, this will be our best. This is our best bullet. I understand we don't have McLaurin and Brown and no Deebo Samuel and the like, but we're going to be competitive. We're going to fly to the football. We're going to rally. We're going to run and hit, and anything that moves, we're going to blast it. We're going to do the best we possibly can to give them a fight. And they got mollywopped, and they got stomped. I don't know what reservoir they're dipping into to pull up this resolve and this ability to fix all the ails and the slow starts and the lethargy in the first quarters or as they're down 10-0 every single week, it feels like. Now you got a really good team coming. If they do it, I'll be really impressed, but I'll be furious that they didn't do it before, but I will be impressed if that rally happens.
Let's hit the phones on this. 800-636-1067. Gibbs is in Connecticut listening on the Odyssey app. Joe, I loved your work here in the 80s. How are you?
Thank you. I tried my best.
Thanks
for taking my call, guys. I am not hitting the panic button. Just like Grant said, it's the NFL and teams. I mean, the Browns beat the Packers this year. Like, crazy, crazy, crazy things happen. If Deebo, Terry, Jaden, they're all playing this week, they rattle off a win against Kansas City and Seattle, you're over 500, and everyone's back to, we're making the playoffs, we're going to go on a crazy run just like last year. All the narratives surrounding the team right now sound very similar to when they were 7-5 last year, lost 3 in a row. And then they've added all 7 in a row, including a 10-point underdog win against Detroit in the playoffs on the road. So you got to have some faith if everyone's back. If they're not back, yeah, it's going to get code red. But for now, I think they're fine. They just got to win.
Thanks, Gibbs. Yeah, you beat the Chiefs. I think the storyline...
It changes a lot.
In town changes, and the whole feel of this thing, after you beat the team that a lot of people would have number one in their power rankings right now, based on the last few weeks, you know, everyone's going to feel different. I will say, he referenced last year, they were so much healthier last year after those 3 losses when they got right, and the quarterback was playing at a level that we haven't really seen other than one half of football against the Chargers this season from him. Some of that is just based on health. I mean, he is hurt for a second time in a short span here. Lou is in Silver Spring. What's up, Lou? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, absolutely panic mode. And I don't mean panic as in let's go trade all of our assets for Joe, anybody who we think is going to, like, bolster the defense or help us score 40 a game. But I just don't see a path at all. Just looking at the games that are left, you know, I mean, what would you call definite, you know, that you could chalk up as a win? Miami, maybe the Giants one more time. But oh, I think by the end of the season, I think this is a 6-win team, 7 at most. So, you know, we could be picking in the top 12. I just don't see a path for it. And, you know, I'm the ultimate homer. I hate to admit this, but I just don't see a path this year.
Appreciate you, dude. I get it.
It's getting dark early.
It's hard to see a way out. Now, the way is what Grant talked about, right? Which is they just don't play like this anymore.
Well, let me say this. The way is you get one win. I think the whole world changes if they get one win. If they were playing the Dolphins this week, you wouldn't feel like you feel, and a lot of people wouldn't feel like they feel like this thing's about to get really, really ugly, because then you'd be 4-4 and the season's back on. The fact that we're all banking on 3-5 and maybe thereafter 3-6 and maybe thereafter 3-7 because of the gauntlet, to me, that's a bigger problem than just being 3-4. The lack of health, the flawed defense, it all factors into it. But for me, while I'm not hitting the panic button, Danny, where I would consider it is just based on the next 3 games. That's my consideration. It's not really how they've played or what's happened to this point, because that can change. You know, if Daniels, now he's not healthy, so this is moot, but in a world where he didn't leave with a hamstring injury, there's a possibility going into this 3-game stretch that he, you know, Stella gets her groove back, and all of a sudden, he just goes out there and has the Bengals game in Kansas City, and you win on Monday night, and then he is better than Sam Darnold, and you beat Seattle, and he's better than Goff, and you beat Detroit. I know it's hard to imagine that, because we haven't really seen it, but for a couple quarters against the Chargers, but that was kind of the formula last year. Make a play or two on defense, and let Jaden Daniels be a superstar. And you could at least talk yourself into that possibly if he was healthy. He obviously isn't, which changes the algorithm.
It's a huge factor in it. But again, even with him, it hasn't gone great. I mean, you're basically saying he could be Superman again. And I guess that's always a possibility where he's both the offense and kind of the defense too, where they're running it and he's controlling the ball. And he did what he did in the second half of the season as a rookie, because I've seen that. So maybe potentially you're able to return to that somehow, and this terrible defense gets masked by Jaden Daniels doing yeoman's work. I suppose that's the path. To me, the opponents they're playing are too good. You never know, you know, what quarterback is hurt, or if you run into a team that's as beat up as you, or something like that. Obviously, any given Sunday, and all the usual caveats apply. But to me, I do care more about the prologue here. How we got to this point matters a lot more to me, it sounds like, than it does to others. And I think that's fine. We're all looking at the same information and choosing what to pull out of it as our sort of our own North Stars with how we're viewing this. But to me, the fact that they can't get off to a good start, they're 0-4, despite all the rhetoric, despite Dan Quinn acknowledging it at press conferences and addressing these things. You could address it there, but it can't seem to be addressed within the room or you know, the 3 degrees off or 10 degrees off or however many degrees off course we are, like Castaway.
Yeah, I also don't think it's that big of an ask if Daniels was healthy to get him back closer to last year either. Like, that is the formula for this group and this team. Is him playing great, special A-plus football. You're seeing it around the league from 6 or 7 guys on the really good teams, the MVP-caliber quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's got to do anything that is impossible. I'm just saying, you know, instead of being a B player, if you're an A-plus player, now all of a sudden, you know, last year as an example, they gave up fewer than 20 points on 5 occasions from week 7 on. Like, they were a better defensive team than they are right now, for sure. But a lot of that was, I think, that their offense kept them off the field and masked them, as you pointed out. Let's go to Mike in Annapolis on G&D. Mike, I was actually in Annapolis a couple weeks ago. I loved it. It's awesome.
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, yeah. Panic button, definitely. It's not even the injuries. It's the sloppiness. It's like watching the old Skins like 10 years ago. It's like you get first down, there's a hold, or there's a drop. It's just, even with Jaden, the injuries. Also, did we all watch the same defense? I think a high school team could score on them. I'm over-exaggerating, but it's terrible. Marshawn Lattimore is literally another St. Juice. And Jaden hasn't been playing like Jaden. The stats are all right, but like he just doesn't look like he did last year. But yeah, that's what I got for you.
Appreciate you, buddy. Their defense would get stops against high school teams. I'm willing to say that.
Most of the high school teams, all of them, yes.
Which high school team are we talking about?
Like if DeMatha's got a good year, like a good squad, yes, they would get stops against high school teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Commanders, not wasting any time, not doing the Willy Wonky dance, not having everyone bring their binoculars and sit in the parking lot to see if Jaden Daniels is at practice, sitting in the trees like a little Giants practice. They have ruled their starting quarterback out for Monday night. Jaden Daniels will miss a third game out of 8 this football season.
It made sense, always, right? Even if it's the mildest of strains, right? Even if it's at the lowest level, it still is bad enough where you're required to have some recovery. Like it's going to take some time for him to get back up to full speed. So I like the idea of just saying, we're not doing the mystery dance. We're not doing the willy or won't he, or he's trending towards, or we've got milestones in the return to play that we're not going to miss. No doing that dance, because we've done that dance, frankly, for months, it feels like. We did it with McLaurin and his non-ankle injury. We did it with Daniels multiple times over. We're doing it with Debo. Like, enough of it. I think it's exhausting for the fans, for people that are really into this thing. So I give them credit for saying, you know what? Maybe people are tired of hearing the chorus to this song. We'll just say, he's out. We're going to go to war with Marcus. And I love it.
I do, too. I do find it exhausting. I did find it annoying. I think the Willie won't he element of the injuries is actually more exasperating than the injuries themselves in some ways. You'd rather just know. But that's not why they're announcing it today, I don't think. It's not because, you know, they don't want the fans or the media to be annoyed. I think what they decided was, and they have enough experience this year trying it both ways, they want Marcus Mariota to have the full week as the guy in the building, on the practice field. It's only right to try to rally around him when you're David and you're taking on Goliath. All hands have to be on deck here. Also, is the juice worth the squeeze for an organization to pretend like a guy might play all week long? Don't you lose something by doing that? Whether it's the amount of time spent answering questions as a coach and as players about the guy that's hurt, in this case, Daniels. Don't you lose something from just that sheer distraction? Whether it is Mariota's practice time and or ability to just take the reins and become the guy and to run the building all week long and to be the number one from Wednesday on. I don't know that there's a benefit in terms of making the Chiefs prepare that outweighs whatever drawback there is to them knowing who the quarterback is. Because let's face it, it's not like you're starting a pocket passer instead of Jaden Daniels. They're very, very similar guys. Daniels is a better player, but in terms of play style, it's the same thing. You're getting ready for a dual-threat quarterback who's going to carry the football some on design runs and who's going to make the same types of throws in the same offense being run by Cliff Kingsbury. It's not like if Jaden's out, then you go to, Paxton Lynch or some dude that doesn't leave the pocket. That's not what this is. So I've never really understood the fascination with trying to trick the opponent. It's the same prep. It's going to be a little bit harder to defend Daniels. Or it's not when he's out there. But it's not like your meetings change at all, in my opinion.
No, I smell what you're cooking there. I mean, to me, there's enough subtle differences. It's above my pay grade to be able to tell. But I think in general, your point's right. Athletic quarterback who's, you know, going to make some throws designed in the offense. Yeah, okay, there we go. Daniels has more, frankly, just a higher ceiling than Mariota. It's why he's the starter. It's why, you know, Mariota's on team number whatever it is, 4 or 5 at this point. But to me, the bigger deal is McLaurin and Debo Samuel coming back. Right, I care more about that, and I'm probably not supposed to say this, just because, you know, it's Jaden Daniels, and he's the sun that the whole solar system revolves around. But to me, I'm way more interested in that if you're going to have a chance this week, because I've seen what it looks like with Jaden Daniels, without Jaden Daniels, when you don't have any weaponry on the outside that scares the opponent. Terrible defenses, objectively bad defenses that can't stop the run, stopped it just fine because they committed. They said, we are not scared of you. We're going to walk right up here, play a bunch of man coverage, and dare Zach Ertz to create some separation. I challenge Luke McCaffrey to get wide open and run free in our secondary. You can't do that to Dallas with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, but you sure as bleep could do it to Washington this past week. So I care about weapons coming back a lot more than a hobbled or a compromised Jaden Daniels coming back.
Grant and Danny, news of the day. No Jaden Daniels in Kansas City if you're locked into the fan today. All the way up to 6:30, we're going to be reacting to this news. There are other elements of this team that we've got to cover, though. There's other things going on in town that we will discuss, but we'll do the heavy lifting on Jaden Daniels. We'll get the latest from John Keim coming up at 3 o'clock. Just a little lay of the land here, though, and some house cleaning. Friday, we are going to be out and about, and we have not been in Fairfax in a little while. I had a couple people chirping us last week about not coming out to Fairfax.
That is true.
That changes. We're going to be at Kraft House in Fairfax for a live show leading up to Monday Night Football, the Commanders and the Chiefs, starting at 2 o'clock. So if you want to kick it with us, have something to eat, get some drinks, a little happy hour with the boys or the girls, and watch Grant and Danny, you can come on out on Friday and do that. Kraft House, we are in Fairfax. That's going to be a good time. And then you and I are flying out to Kansas City on Saturday. I was texting this morning with Kandori and Murad, our buddies, the lawyers who sponsor our road trips here on the show. I don't even know what to say about the difference in this trip from when it was booked at the beginning of the year. Doesn't change how excited I am to see Arrowhead, to be in that atmosphere, to see a primetime game.
It's a great experience either way, man.
It's NFL football, and I am jacked up. But when we booked this thing, we're like handpicking games out of a whole schedule. Mahomes, the chosen one. Daniels, the next chosen one. Kansas City might come out of the AFC.
Again.
Washington might come out of the NFC. And now the Commanders, as double-digit point favorites like they're the Cleveland Browns, are starting Marcus Mariota in a game to save their bacon on the entire season. And this thing could be over before it started. We haven't even gotten candy passed out yet. My kids haven't even put on their costumes and said trick or treat. Or as my little son says, pick or peat.
Pick or peat.
They haven't even gone pick or peating yet. And this thing might be over on Monday night.
How many teams would be larger underdogs than Washington is this weekend? Or this Monday? It's not a lot.
Say that again. In this game?
In this game.
Got it.
How many teams would be larger underdogs? You know, top of your head, you know, Jets, Browns,
Miami.
It's you could think of them right away. It's like five or six teams, right? Maybe a couple more.
Okay, let's do it. So NFC, the Saints are bigger underdogs.
Saints
in Kansas City.
That's one.
Are the Giants? I don't think they would be.
Not
actually.
Right now.
The way Jackson Dart's playing.
Not right now. After what they just did to the Broncos on the road?
By the way, they hung with KC recently. Didn't they just play that game? I remember watching it.
It was a few weeks ago with old Russell Wilson throwing it out of the end zone on fourth down.
All right, so that would be a smaller line right now.
Yes.
The Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, I buy that. I buy that.
Similar, but I don't know that I would.
Maybe a 10, maybe it's 10.5, last I saw. Would it be larger?
I don't know. I don't think it would be, honestly. With a veteran backup quarterback like Mariota and less injury problems, and, by the way, much better defense.
By the way, now it's 11.5.
I'll bet you it's going to be 12 or 12.5 before the game kicks off.
It's 12.5 in a couple books. Yeah. I think, yeah, so Arizona would be less. That's what we've got. New Orleans is one.
But if we're saying definitively, the Saints so far in the NFC, that's it.
Yep.
Okay, AFC, Jets, definitely.
Yes, 2.
Titans, definitely.
3.
Dolphins, I think absolutely.
4.
We keep saying the Browns. How sure are we about that?
Pretty sure. Because it's once every 3 games the Browns like are frisky and a pain in the butt.
But here's the difference.
Defensively, they're good.
Their defense is actually good. Solid maybe is better and more accurate.
It's better than this one.
But when you make this line, you're banking on a Chiefs offense that is now rolling, that has scored 61 points in the last 2 games, that is coming off of a 30-burger, that moves the ball with ease now with Rashee Rice, against what has recently been, just recency effect last month or so, the worst defense maybe in the conference and certainly the worst passing defense in the NFL. They're number 32 right now, dead last in yards per play through the air. So I think a Browns team with like a Myles Garrett and some dudes like Denzel Ward in coverage, I don't know, can't you keep that game a little closer?
I think you're making a decent case here because they've got, in my mind, I remember those where they're just not competitive, 41-10 loss type things that they did to the Ravens early this year, that they did to Detroit when they go up against a good team, and it's like, okay, this team can't compete. And that's what this would feel like. But you know what? Your case is good enough where I bet you it wouldn't be bigger than 11.5.
And this is not an indictment on me saying that the Commanders are like a bottom 3 team in the NFL. What I think it's about this week. It's about the
injuries.
It's
about right now.
This second. A month from now, sure. They're a better team and a tougher out, and with a healthy Daniels and a healthy Debo and a healthy Terry and Noah Brown.
Noah Brown.
Noah Brown playing football.
When Noah Brown comes back.
Danny, you're silly.
I'm going to try it again. Listen, when they get Noah Brown back, I can't. Sorry, that's mean. That's mean. But it's not going to happen. Ravens are getting Lamar back, so they wouldn't be a bigger dog.
Nope.
That's Houston. The list. Houston wouldn't be a bigger.
We have made the list.
It's 4 teams, right now.
But yeah, that's what's happening, guys. No Jaden Daniels in Kansas City. Season on the line in a lot of ways, it feels like, before you finish the gauntlet with 2 at home against the NFC. And those are the bigger games, if we're being honest, because you're 1-4 in the conference. And talking about tiebreakers in the playoffs right now feels futile and silly. But Seattle, then Detroit. If you're winning 2 out of the 3, you'd rather get those anyway. I don't know if Jaden plays against Seattle. How could anyone know that right now? There are two possibilities. He's ruled out on the Wednesday before the game because it's so obvious that he's not playing. It's so clear based on the severity of the hamstring injury that maybe he doesn't go next week. Or the other option, and I tend to lean this way, honestly, which is you want to give Marcus Mariota the week to himself. You realize that the way he did it before was a gigantic distraction and it was super annoying to Dan Quinn and everybody else. And so this is the way you're rolling, and you still think behind the scenes there's a really good chance Daniels could come back. We had the orthopedic surgeon call in.
Uh-huh.
He didn't look at his hamstring, so he doesn't know anything necessarily. But he knows about injuries, and he said if you have even a minor hamstring injury that shows up on an MRI, you guys are asking the wrong question. It's not about this week. It's about next week.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the orthopedic surgeon who deals with sports injuries and hamstrings told us on the Grant and Danny radio program yesterday afternoon right here on The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, this week always seemed obvious that this was going to happen, of just a matter of when. But yeah, I mean, when you have
an injury... But are you surprised they did it now?
A little bit.
I love that they did it today. But I did not think they would.
Yes, given their recent history, because it's not like we've dealt with this multiple times this year. Given their recent history, I thought they'd drag it out and be Friday, and we're not going to miss a single beat, Candy, on return to play. It's a great question from you, Candy, but I think we're going to make sure we meet all the milestones on the return to play metrics and whatever the things that they have hid behind multiple times over, because Dan Quinn doesn't want to answer those questions. I thought they were going to do that, so I am surprised. But to me, this wasn't, I don't know anything. I'm not an orthopedic surgeon or anybody that knows anything really at all. It was never really about this week. It has always been that, where this is a hamstring injury of some kind. The severity of the strain, the pull, the whatever you want to call it, always said to me this is going to be a multiple week thing potentially. Does that mean at the end of the second week you can go with a little wrapping on, or you're out for 2 weeks? I don't know.
I'm looking at EPA per play, which was a very Daniels-friendly metric last year. Basically does as good a job as we have at finding individual value at any given moment. And it takes everything into account. It's the passing, it's the running, it's, you know, what he means to the offense, right? And in this stat, where every stat's a little bit flawed, I'm sure, I've always kind of liked this. And again, last year it was as Daniels-friendly as it gets. He's number 23 in the NFL right now among quarterbacks who have played a requisite number of snaps this season. I'm gonna take Tyson Bagent out because he's in here for some reason, and Andy Dalton. So he's actually 21. Based on qualifying numbers of quarterbacks. But Marcus Mariota, at the same time, is 27. The gap is not as massive as you really think about how the two guys have played this year. The question is, which Marcus Mariota do you get? You know, last year when he came in against Carolina, he dealt. They scored 40. When he came in the second half against the Cowboys, their offense got rolling. He dealt. They came back and won the football game. This year against the Raiders, and I will gladly tell you that that was the worst defense on that day that they played all year. You see what the Chiefs just did to them and other teams have done. Kansas City had 30 first downs against them. In that game, Mariota was great. That was probably the best four quarters of football they've gotten out of the quarterback position this year. He was not nearly as good in Atlanta. I thought he was solid. I think after the game, you and I both said he played a winning-ish fine football.
It was good enough if there was anything from the defense.
But I think if you have Daniels, he would have done better in that game, obviously. He's a starter. Mariota's not. Daniels is a stud. Mariota's not. But if you just look at this year, EPA per play, Daniels is about 0.05. Mariota's is negative 0.02. It's pretty close. And so my point is, while I don't think they can beat the Chiefs with Marcus Mariota, it's not like they were favorites with Daniels either. If anything, maybe Kansas City takes you a little lighter. You know, maybe the Chiefs look at you and go, wait, these guys? You guys watching this tape? You see what George Pickens did to this guy? You see what CeeDee Lamb did to this guy? And now they're playing Marcus Mariota. You see the pick six he threw as soon as he came out there? By the way, I wonder what his EPA per play was before the snaps against Dallas. Not that over.
I bet you it was better.
It's a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it went down.
But my point is, if it was a little bit better, it might have been almost equal to what you've gotten out of Daniels this year. So I guess what I'm saying is, I didn't have him winning anyway. You have a worse chance to win without Daniels. My grandma could tell you that. But how much so? This is not last year where you go from top five quarterback to backup. You're going from like number 20 quarterback to number 27 quarterback. And if you get McLaurin back, sounds like you're going to. If you get Debo back, sounds like you're going to. Aren't you going to be better on offense than you were this past week? I actually think the offense will look way better than it did against Dallas. Not a knock on Daniels or an endorsement of Mariota, because you're getting your receivers back.
Yes.
You're going to have the 1 and 2 receiver options in your offense. The two
if it comes to fruition, then yes.
Well, I guess I should say that, because we have been told before.
Yeah, we have trended in the right direction many times over, you and I have, and we've our hopes are up now for True. You'll see. 17 will be back on that field. He'll be running streaks. Those stutter goes, those slants. He'll be catching first downs by the bushel. You'll see. Our number will come in. We'll get first downs all day. Fourth downs, doesn't matter. We're going for it. Anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere. That's our slogan. We'll get after it.
Danny, I wanted to get into this discourse on Robert Griffin III and Jaden Daniels and similarities between the two. This conversation, all of our football discussion on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So this has kind of been mostly off my radar. But I guess, especially on like Commander's Twitter, if that's a thing, there's like this infighting happening now where with every Jaden Daniels injury, obviously people are going to bring up Robert Griffin because he was this quarterback who was a superstar and then he got hurt. And so there's the fear that the last time you were this excited about this amazing number 2 overall pick who won the Rookie of the Year, he got hurt. And I guess that's where the comparison comes in every time Jaden Daniels is limping or banged up. But then there's people that get so upset about it, that they're very different, which they are, that the situations are very different, which they are, and I'm more on this side. I don't get upset or bothered about it, but I don't think the two are analogous really at all. I think the building was toxic and awful back then, and there were a lot of reasons why the Robert Griffin thing went sideways beyond just his health. None, the least of which I would point out, too, Griffin had a very serious, severe, maybe career-altering injury. Daniels has not had one of those. But it kind of all came to a head this weekend when his mom tweeted about it. Did you see what Jaden's mom tweeted, Regina Jackson?
I did.
It was something to the effect of, stop manifesting these injuries on my son by saying he's Robert Griffin. And I'll find the exact quote so that I can read it so that I perfectly quote her. But that was the gist of it. Like, she brought up this topic that's clearly bothering her. So it's now at a point where it's like, okay, I've kind of avoided talking about this. I think it's the whole thing's kind of dumb. But now if the quarterback's mom thinks this is a big deal and a story and she's tweeting about it, well, okay, now I'm going to have to weigh in on this. So the quote, I got it here. I wish you would stop manifesting RG3 on my son. Words are powerful, and that's all that's talked about. So before we get into the bigger picture here, what does this tweet mean exactly? I think she's essentially saying that words, like, my mom's a big Laws of Attraction fan. You know about this?
Is that the same as The Secret
kind of deal? Yes, I think it is. Yeah, it's the same deal. And it's like, what you say matters. I'm taking this tweet to mean she's saying Daniels has been hurt 2 times this year, partially because all these people are fearing that he's going to get hurt and he's going to be Robert Griffin. And so by putting that negativity out into the world, it's leading to these things. That's how I took the tweet. I don't know if that's what you meant or not.
Okay.
How did you take the tweet?
Like that. Like, I happen to, again, I don't know her personally at all, and God bless whatever drives you, motivates you, or gets you out of bed. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. The, like, if I'm going, hey, he's been injured a couple times, I'm concerned about that going forward. I'm not manifesting anything. No, nothing.
Yeah,
what I say
I
has nothing
with
to do.
The idea of manifesting. Like, but he got hurt in the Packers game because he got tackled in he broke a rib, not because you thought, oh no, this guy might get hurt, but because someone landed on him.
Yeah. Like, I love him so much. I think he's incredible and wanted them to draft him. Did I manifest that? No, they did some scouting and did some evaluation and figured out that he's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so that's how I took it, though, is like, stop comparing my son to this oft-injured quarterback because your dreams didn't come true, you know, then the next level is this manifesting nonsense.
And I do understand why she, as a mom, would be annoyed by that. I'll bet my mom would be upset if I was Jaden Daniels and every single time anything happened where, like, I come off the field because I got kicked in the, you know, the bad area. Or if I come off the field because I lost my wind. You see 10,000 people saying, oh, no, here we go again. He's hurt. It's Robert Griffin. I get her annoyance or bristling or vexing at that. But that's kind of where it begins and ends for me. The manifestation thing, like the idea that because people are talking about him getting hurt, he's going to get hurt. I think that's just absurd. I don't even need to get into that. Like, that's not how the world works necessarily, if that's what she meant by the tweet. But what do you make of the discourse here of people like my neighbor today walking her dog? She stops me. I'm throwing the football to my son. And she's like, what do you think of Jaden? Is he going to, you know, play? And I'm like, no, he's been ruled out. And she said something to the effect of, I hope he's not Robert Griffin again, all over again. And like, that was just the first thing she said.
Yeah.
Now she's a football fan. She went on to talk about Terry coming back. She's following it all. But I think that is something that a lot of people keep throwing out there. And I wonder, what do they mean by it? What are they referencing?
So who am I talking about? Hyper-popular Heisman-winning quarterback drafted second overall to a previously moribund franchise that has great success and makes the team popular and sells a lot of jerseys and has a lot of public interest. Makes the team, for at least a short time, the cool team, where the expectations entering year two are astronomical. Who am I talking about? Could be either one of them. That's the point. Everybody wants to put their fingers in their ears and pretend there aren't similarities because they're different players, and Jaden Daniels is a more complete passer than Art Griffin ever was, and the comparison between the two is night and day. But you're missing the point. The point is, you don't have to go searching with a microphone glass or a microscope or a magnifying glass or the X-ray vision goggles they were allegedly using to figure out what cards were what at these mafia card games to see the easy and obvious comparable similarities that just occurred 12 years ago, where the franchise has been terrible, new regime comes in, you draft the superstar Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Griffin's on the Tonight Show wearing socks, doing bits, plays out of his mind as a rookie. Then there's the Willie, won't he? Is he in? Is he out? Am I on for this? Am I on for that? What week am I coming back? The mystery surrounding knee injuries, little nicks, little this, little that. This concussion, he's out for a week. He's not. It's a knee sprain. What kind of sprain is it? We don't know. He'll be okay. He'll wear a brace. How big is the brace? We've done all of this. The comparisons are easy and obvious. And I understand the people that bristle because you don't want to hear about it. Or you are aware that Daniels is a different player with way different skill sets that also happen to include elite athleticism, but the throwing talent's different. Everybody wants to pretend there's no point of comparison at all, and they get offended by it. When the rest of us can go, yeah, there's a lot of parallels that I get fans are doing.
Ton of parallels. Yeah. I guess what I'm talking about is the injury part of this, which I don't really see where it's analogous necessarily. Or, you know, when people say something to the effect of, well, this is just going to end exactly how the Robert Griffin thing did. You know, he's just going to get hurt or whatever. Because he broke his rib last year, or because he had this very minor knee injury comparative to Griffin earlier in the year, or now it's this thing. If he had torn his ACL or something terrible, I guess I could get behind some type of comparison there. But the issue I have is how flawed it is to like act like, and this is something fans have always gotten wrong, in my opinion, about Griffin, that if not for that injury, he would have just ascended like an airplane into the air and still would be Mahomes here or something. Like, that was a rotten situation internally that was going badly with or without that injury.
Right, but 99% of the populace doesn't really know that to that extent.
But that's my point. And so, When they talk about, like, comparing the two and how it went sideways and how it's going to go badly, I guess I'm going, everything about that organization was set up for the, not for him to fail, but to make it working between Griffin and the coaching staff hard.
Mm-hmm.
The way the owner treated him, the way the owner ran everything, it was all bad. So nothing will replicate what happened there. Because you have a real owner, because you have a real front office, because you have a less toxic place, because the whole organization is different. That's where I don't get frustrated. I guess I don't care either way, but that's where I've never really gotten it. But if it's as simple as both of them won the Heisman, Both of them were drafted number two overall. Both of them were amazing as rookies. And if one of them gets an injury, it's just like the other one. Sure, I guess. I guess I don't know why that's what's controversial about that.
Well, nothing controversial, but well, for some it is, I suppose. But both represented in real time the first real hope, the first real reason to hope in forever. Now, after the fact, anybody that was willing to listen learned what was going on before. But in real time, we didn't know that. In real time, we don't know about these plays are unacceptable. We didn't know about I want to run the offense that Kirk ran against Cleveland and whatever. Nobody knew that kind of stuff. I mean, people as plugged in as you were professionally knew that. That's you could count those people on one hand. The rest of the populace is going, oh my God, for the first time in forever, I'm getting texts from division rival fans telling me they're jealous of me. For the first time in forever, I've been a joke for decades. The first thing they've gotten right is this dude, and then it gets ripped away. Everyone's afraid of that happening again. I think that's incredibly reasonable. I am. You have a tall, lean, athletic freak that's very pliable, that gets folded up and takes these incredibly awkward hits but bounces right back up until he doesn't. You had the minor injuries with knee sprains around a similar time frame. The ACL, the catastrophic one, of course, that changed a lot of things, hasn't happened. Knock on wood. I certainly hope that doesn't. But to me, there's so many easy and obvious parallels. And I will tell you that as, just given my spot, every friend I talk to casually about it, like a buddy was in town who you met the other day, doesn't follow football that closely. He's lived abroad for a while. Lives in Denver, like outside of Denver. And he's like, dude, so this guy gets hurt all the time. Is it like Griffin again? That's the first thing off everybody's lips.
Of course.
I said
my neighbor today was like, is this just Robert Griffin all over again?
Yeah.
It's what everybody is saying. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm caring too much about the nuance of it. Where I'm going, no, not at all. Robert Griffin tore everything in his knee, and that's a career altering, shifting injury. Oh, by the way, for a guy that I don't think was anywhere near this player's level as a passer. Traditionally, if he just stopped running or what have you. I think a lot of what happened in 2012 was scheme. Griffin was also amazing. I mean, he ripped off a near 80-yard touchdown run against the Vikings. We've never seen Jaden Daniels do that as an example. I'm not sitting here pretending like Griffin wasn't unbelievably talented. I remember thinking he was going to win MVP awards after 2012 when he had one of the great rookie years ever.
Yep.
But I guess I'm diving way too deep into the nuance, and you're saying people are just saying it's similar because their resumes look a lot alike. That's kind of what your point is.
Yeah, sets the league on fire. Team was terrible. He arrives. Now they're not terrible. They won the division in year one. Go to the NFC Championship in year one for Daniels. Then you get, some sort of knee injury. It's very nebulous. No one's really sure what it is. A knee brace is worn. Timetables for when people are coming back. Think Griffin against Baltimore, then has to wear the brace. Then what's the extent of the injury? Again, everybody sees a lot of parallels and a lot of similar beats to the timetable of it. And this year's not going real well. So we've done this before. I did this. You know what I mean? Like, this is a rerun. I don't want it to end the same way.
What do you guys think of the dialogue on Daniels reminding people of Griffin? That's the question for you at 800-636-1067. And we'll take some calls on this. 800-636-1067. Also, as I said, I kind of just would hear this and keep it moving and not really think much about it until it became a pretty big deal and more popular,
man.
When the mother of the quarterback tweeted out that people are manifesting Robert Griffin on her son. Words are powerful. That's all that's talked about. And I took that to mean she's saying he's getting hurt because you guys keep saying he's going to be Robert Griffin and he's getting hurt. Again, I don't agree with the manifestation thing. It's just not something that I think is how injuries are happening. I think it's probably more medical and having to do with the tackles and the big bodies and the big speeds that are landing on him. But what did you make of that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.